Well, 320. That's the number of votes Boris Johnson needs to win in the House of Commons vote tomorrow on his withdrawal agreement. Has Bojo got the mojo? Could sheer momentum give him the win that Theresa May failed to achieve three times? Well, Taoiseach Simon Coveney has said a contingency plan is in place if the Brexit deal is not passed in Westminster tomorrow. Mr. Coveney was speaking to reporters in Cork, including our South East correspondent, Conor Kane.
We have contingency plans in place for all scenarios, from a no deal, which of course is a worst case scenario, to anything that's better than that. But if ratification doesn't happen tomorrow, well then it's really a matter for the British Parliament as to what happens then. Certainly the Prime Minister will be obliged by British law to apply in writing for an extension until the end of January, and he will have to respond to that legal obligation. But what the British Parliament decides to do, what they can get a majority of MPs to coalesce behind in terms of approach, remains to be seen.
Jean-Claude Juncker said yesterday there would be no further extension. Was he just speaking personally, or is that a view held widely in Brussels?
Well, I mean, that'll be a decision that'll be made by the European Council if the request comes in for an extension. You know, and my view is that that if there is an extension request from the UK, and if there there is a significant plan to go with that, to facilitate a general election or to facilitate a referendum or something else that can secure a deal over the next 3 months or so, then I think the European Council will look seriously at that. Certainly from an Irish perspective, we would support an extension as opposed to the triggering of a no-deal Brexit, that's for sure.
Taoiseach Simon Coveney speaking in Cork this morning. So let's go back to Westminster and the campaign to get those votes. George Parker, political editor at the Financial Times, joins us. George, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
So has Bojo got the mojo? How close is he to those 320 votes?
Well, he's very close. You know, lots of people have been trying to do their own calculations based on what people have said publicly and what their voting record has been in the past. And we did our own exercise yesterday and came up with a score which has 321 MPs against the deal, 318 for the deal. So on that basis, obviously not completely foolproof, the Boris Johnson loses by three votes, but it gives you an idea of just how tight it is. And the Prime Minister's been in Downing Street. He flew back in the early hours from Brussels last night, and he spent the whole day today so far on the phone, particularly to Tory MPs, trying to get the numbers for that crucial vote tomorrow.
How intensive is the lobbying? Where does he get the votes? Is he looking to split the ERG? Is he looking to woo over no-deal Labour MPs? Where does he get the votes?
Right, so there are two big blocks. I think you've identified them really. The first is the 28 Conservative MPs who voted against Theresa May's deal last time, the so-called Spartans, the hardline Eurosceptics. The government was quite confident of getting most of those 28 over to support the deal. The fact that the DUP is now not supporting the deal may complicate that because a number of the ERG people were prepared to hide behind the DUP to give themselves some cover, and the DUP are now trying to pull them back in the other direction. So that's the first block that Boris Johnson's got to win over, and he's been lobbying them intensively this morning. And the other group, as you mentioned, are Labour MPs who typically represent Leave areas who are under pressure from their constituents to just get Brexit done. We think there could be up to 10 of those. Some people say more than that. And so Boris Johnson got his allies talking to those people today, trying to persuade them to vote for the deal, and offering them things such as guarantees on employment rights. And I was told this morning one thing that they're talking about is changing the domestic law to make it easier to claim unfair dismissal if you're a new member of staff. So there are all sorts of things being thrown in the direction of those Labour MPs to try and make the numbers add up.
OK, so that's Boris Johnson's approach to tomorrow. What about Labour and the opposition parties, which, I mean, so far they've managed not to be able to regain the initiative very often because they haven't been able to agree. So in terms of talk of a second referendum or what's happening there?
Well, the question of the second referendum is the sort of the dog that doesn't bark in Brexit in Britain. People talk about it a lot, and then when it comes to the key moments, people seem to back away, and that's what's happening tomorrow. There is not going to be an attempt to impose a second referendum or introduce a second referendum tomorrow in this crucial sitting, for the simple reason that they think they don't have the numbers. there's a sort of divergence in tactics on how they should proceed on this. But basically what appears to be the case is that if Boris Johnson loses his vote tomorrow, then there's going to be an attempt by pro-referendum MPs to get together, grab hold of the House of Commons order paper and revive Theresa May's old deal, stick into that a load of things that would appeal to Labour MPs, such as protection for the climate and environmental rights and workers' rights, and then put that to a referendum. So it would be a referendum on Theresa May's deal, dressed up a bit with a question, do you want Theresa May's deal or Remain? If Boris Johnson wins his vote tomorrow, the government then has to introduce legislation, the withdrawal bill, to put it onto the statute book, and there'll be a subsequent attempt by those MPs to introduce a referendum, confirmatory referendum lock to that bill. My suspicion is if they can't win a vote on Saturday, I think they'll find it very hard to win a vote further down the track once the deal's been approved.
And that's interesting as well, which is worth remembering. The vote tomorrow, while politically significant, it's really just an indicative vote, isn't it? They've got to vote on the legal text of the withdrawal agreement. There'd be various pieces of legislation to implement that, and each of those votes has to be won.
That's correct, yes. I mean, it's a bit more than an indicative vote. It does have a legal status, this vote. It's sort of a meaningful vote, they call it. So it is the vote in principle on whether to accept the deal. Mm-hmm. Now, you're absolutely right. There's going to be parliamentary warfare dragging on, well, Boris Johnson hopes for days, but I suspect it could take longer than that, on the detailed legislation. And there'll be ambushes every night as people try to attach bits to the bill. But I think in practical terms, once the House of Commons has given its in principle approval to the deal, I think it's very hard to imagine it being stopped further down the track.
In many ways, whether he loses or not, for Boris Johnson, it's win-win either way. He's come up with a deal that you can hear almost the relief in many people's voices that there's something on the table. This brings him closer to the election, the Brexit election, doesn't it, that he's been wanting all along, and the polls indicate he, like what he's saying, what he's doing, is travelling with the public in the UK at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's true. And, you know, if you think about back to the Conservative Party conference a couple of weeks ago, the conference slogan was Get Brexit Done. And I think that does reflect a sort of the mood on the doorstep of people knocking on the doors. And you're right, there is a sense of relief that the deal was done yesterday. And as you say, if he can get the deal through the House of Commons tomorrow, he'll have succeeded where Theresa May failed three times. And he'll be the person who delivered Brexit, and he'll be quite difficult to stop, I think, in those circumstances, in a general election, which is one of the reasons why so much pressure has been put on Labour MPs not to help him over the line tomorrow, because in a subsequent election, the Labour Party could be annihilated. On the other hand, you know, has he sown the seeds of great problems further down the line? The fact that DUP is not supporting this deal, the fact that Northern Ireland now is on an economic and political trajectory, I would say, that keeps it more closely tied to the EU than to the rest of the UK, does that mean at some point Northern Ireland is going to leave the UK and join the Republic? What about Scotland? We had a government minister today saying what a cracking deal Northern Ireland had because it was going to enjoy free trade with the EU. Well, Scotland would rather like that as well. Hasn't dealt with quite a few people in England, for that matter. So you're right that, you know, he's looking pretty sort of chipper this morning about the deal he struck. But, you know, at what cost to the long-term unity of the country?
George Parker, political editor at the Financial Times, as ever, thank you. And let's thrash out more that question of the DUP and what they do from the situation they find themselves in this Friday with our Northern editor, Tommy Gorman. Tommy, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Anya.
Waking up the morning after the night before, what's the situation in the DUP today as you read it?
Back home to porridge. After difficult times in Westminster, no Prime Minister to talk to because he had left for Brussels. So then you get on the flight from Heathrow and you return and you face, I suppose, criticism from some of your own hardliners who are saying, what happened? I thought we had the inside track with Boris Johnson. And remember, you're in a minority position all the time, but people are expecting you because you have that power of being the party that keeps the government in position, that, you know, you have influence over them. So suddenly that goes. And then, of course, all your enemies come one after the other saying, told you so, ha, ha, ha. And you become this figure of fun. That's a very, very difficult place to be. Some of the other things that are happening, David Trimble, former leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, now a Conservative Party peer in the House of Lords, he's backing this deal, backing Boris Johnson, his party leader, and doesn't see any difficulty with it in terms of the Good Friday Agreement. Lord Kilclooney, John Taylor, on the other hand, who voted to leave the European Union. John Taylor says, well, this is the beginning of the move towards a united Ireland, and he's very, very critical. And then, I suppose, the other development worth talking about is Arlene Foster has made it clear that her party will vote against Boris Johnson tomorrow. I think that's entirely predictable. But they're beginning to get, well, they're getting lots of phone calls from, say, they're in this WhatsApp group with several members of the ERG. And they'd also have regular contact with them. They'd be political soulmates at Westminster. And they're getting the kind of phone call, Áine, where people are saying, you know, I'm coming under a lot of pressure in my constituency, but of course, old boy, I don't want, or old girl, I don't want to desert you. But what do you think yourself? And in some ways, they're looking for permission. And at the very least, they're looking for a steer. And I suppose the kind of advice that the DUP will give, it may vary from member to member. Some people who are still very, very angry, others who are angry but trying to look beyond the vote. So it's a very difficult day for them, Áine. It's like, it reminds me of the equivalent of a day after difficult surgery. You don't realise that you're still alive, that you have survived, because the pain of the actual surgery, the post-op surgery pain, is so difficult.
Mm-hmm. And the difficulty is that, you know, in all the manoeuvring at Westminster, and the DUP have enjoyed huge influence at Westminster because of the confidence and supply arrangement with the Conservatives. For all of that, they have rejected a deal three times that was an unless and until backstop, with a backstop that's now pretty much permanent, front-loaded, with a consent vote that doesn't give them a unionist veto. That's really the worst of all possible worlds to end up in, isn't it, if you're in the DUP?
It is, Áine. At one stage in the past, I described what was going on at Westminster as a holiday romance that was going to end. And it actually ended, you could say that it ended in a form of tears yesterday. One of the things that the DUP are being reminded of is, say, the speech that Boris Johnson made when he came to their party conference. And a lot of the commitments made he made then, and the criticisms he made of the very idea of a border down the Irish Sea, well, they can now be used as the stick with which you can beat the DUP. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I noted in Arlene Foster's article that she had in the Belfast Telegraph this morning, she was talking about the need to rebuild. She talked about the pain of being out of power sharing for the last 3 years, how relationships had been damaged. It's not the time to be doing it, but there may be an occasion in the not too distant future when the DUP will see the kind of statements that Arlene Foster made in the letter she wrote with Martin McGuinness in August 2016. She'll see the points that the likes of the SDLP and Sinn Féin made about special status for Northern Ireland. And there is the potential there for that, for Northern Ireland to become a Monaco or a Singapore or this special place in the European Union. And given the size of the economy, 1.7 million people, you could see how the European Union would be well prepared to fund it. And I thought one of the really interesting features of the dynamics yesterday was you could see how supportive the EU were. All their major figures standing beside Leo Varadkar, Leo Varadkar getting his place in the sun. But then you stand back and you say to yourself, there's a huge element of self-interest in this for the European Union, because if the Republic and Northern Ireland have pretty much the same regulations, and Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, and you don't want to have United Kingdom, you know, broken up into Northern Ireland being completely different to the rest, you can see how European Union countries are hoping that the kind of arrangements may be the template for what happens in the wider trade discussions. So that's where the EU self-interest factor comes in this deal.
And exactly. Thank you, Tommy. Our Northern editor, Tommy Gorman.